Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport. Thank you for coming back to the Inside Lacrosse Podcast. I'm Terry Floyd, joined today by Notre Dame head coach, and we are continuing to talk about fall ball on the eve of Thanksgiving. Coach Corgan, thanks so much for joining us. How was your fall?
It was great, Terry. We had a great fall. We only played one competition, but we had 22 really good days of practice and internal competition, and with a big roster, it's nice to to have everybody playing every day, a minimum number of competitions wasn't a factor for us.
The theme of these conversations has been comparing or contrasting the fall of 2020 versus the fall of 21. I don't know how normally disrupted your 2020 fall was. So how did this fall compare to a return to normalcy versus, just another kind of marker as we move through this pandemic and away from the canceled 2020 season?
Yeah, as far as in everything that happened between the lines, it wasn't that much. The biggest difference was last year we did not use our locker room at all. We did our laundry for our guys, and they picked up loops every day for the next day and turned in their stuff from the previous day. And we just operated in that fashion, kind of on the field, being our locker room and our time together. But the good news was that was fairly normal. For this fall, our whole team has been vaccinated, so we've got everybody there and practicing every day, and it's been really has been very much a return to normal, including use of the locker room and team room and all that.
Moving on the field, certainly a hallmark of your team last year was the veteran defense, and the talent at the offensive end was exceptional by the end of the season. But coming into the 21 campaign, the guys at the defensive end of the field, in Keelty and Arden Cohen, who's back, and transfer Kyle Thornton, were maybe a little bit better known. And I don't know that necessarily has flipped, but certainly with Pat Kavanaugh having the season that he did last year and getting a lot of attention by some remarkable highlights on social media this fall, it appears that maybe some of those known quantities at the offensive end are going to be maybe where you hit the ground running a little bit this spring. How do you react to that characterization?
Well, to be honest with you, I think we have quality and depth at both ends of the field. And you're right about last fall. We weren't sure what we had. Heck, last fall, Pat Kavanaugh broke his thumb in the first day of practice last fall. We never saw him play until, we were 3 weeks into preseason practice. The first time he actually practiced with us at all last year. So there were a lot of unknowns. We're young at the offensive end this year. You can't forget that Pat's really only a sophomore.
Right.
And we've got, some young guys, but I think we've got a talented group and they're, they've worked very hard so far to kind of put it all together there. And defensively, we have a lot of older experienced guys, but not guys that have played together, as much as say Arden and Jack did, some of the people around them. So we've got, I think a talented group of short stick D middies, always an important position at that end of the field. But again, not kind of the known quantities that we had coming into last year. So we're a work in progress for sure.
One of the conversations around, NCAA tournament teams and teams that were highly ranked that didn't make the NCAA tournament coming away from the 21 season was, what did we learn about how to use the transfer portal? And, in terms of volume of guys that you bring in, specifically around grad transfers with, 2 years remaining of so many guys having an additional year of eligibility, certainly Notre Dame made a lot of notable additions heading into the 21 campaign. And, maybe not necessarily as high profile additions heading into the 22 campaign, but one guy I know has made a strong impression on a number of folks in your camp is Jason Reynolds, a defenseman from Richmond. Generally, what was your attitude toward navigating the transfer portal heading into this season? And more specifically, what are your thoughts on the guys that you brought in?
We have been bringing in grad transfers for a long time. But generally like one a year is what it had been. And so we had a real appreciation for what those guys bring to the team, not just in terms of their talent level, because quite honestly, in the first, you know, 7 or 8 years that we brought those guys in, it was a little bit of a mixed bag in terms of how much of an impact they had on the field. But in terms of what they, you know, what they bring to the culture of your team, and in terms of an appreciation for you know, the program and the school, and you know, how they can add to the mix, and how to make sure that I guess that their influence was a positive one. And certainly last year with a larger group of those guys only reinforced that. You know, the kids that we had were terrific, and were great teammates, came in with a great sense of gratitude over the opportunity that they had academically and athletically and socially and everything else. So really was a great addition to the team. So, you know, what we've learned, I guess, is to, you know, to make sure you're bringing in the right guys, you know, and I don't know that we learned that as much as reinforced it. But bring in guys that are here for the whole experience. Bring in guys that have really looked around and know that they want what your school is and your team is and all that. And so, you know, our experience has been nothing but positive with those guys, Terry.
And from a freshman standpoint, you know, obviously only getting to know them, but what have the first impressions of the group been?
I think it's a good group. I think it's a talented group, you know, with guys that will have impact over time at every position, in terms of, you know, who's going to do what this year. I mean, who knows, you know, the lights haven't come on yet, so we'll see. But no, I really like the class. I like the depth and the fact that it pretty much at every position, we've got somebody who's going to help us.
The one guy I want to ask about is Chris Kavanaugh, a legacy with two older brothers that have come through. You know, he's a highly regarded player in this class. What did you see from him in the fall?
You know, he's very much like his brothers. He's skilled. He's tough. He's smart. He knows the game. He's competitive. He works very hard. I mean, there's just not many things not to like about Chris or Pat or Matt Kavanaugh.
What do you tell your guys as they transition from the end of fall into Thanksgiving break, coming back on campus for a short period of time, back home for Christmas, and then making sure that they arrive back in January ready to start the spring?
Well, you know, every segment of the year we try to identify for them what it is we're trying to accomplish during that segment, right? And you know, so fall ball certainly has its goals, but then when you move away from fall ball and into the 8-hour weeks where, you know, four of those can be lacrosse, we haven't had a week where we've used 4 hours of lacrosse. We really try to turn the focus and the priority there into kind of strength and conditioning and preparation for the year. And to me, part of that is playing the appropriate amount of lacrosse or not playing the appropriate amount of lacrosse so that you're not playing an inappropriate amount of lacrosse, I should say. So that you're not just back and ready when January comes, but your kids are genuinely excited about being there and being together and playing again. And that's kind of the mindset that you want going into your, you know, 5 weeks of preparation for the season there. So really our focus has been very much on, you know, let's get ourselves fit and strong and conditioned and let's try to maintain that through the holidays and when guys are more on their own. But we give them all the tools to be able to do that. And again, hopefully that they understand. Just going off of past years and the guys that I know we have, they'll do a good job of preparing themselves now for January.
Turning the attention to the spring, your schedule hasn't been released yet, but one thing that we can take for granted is that the ACC slate is going to provide a lot of challenges, but there's also been some variability in terms of last year, you know, switching to a format where you play a couple teams twice And now you kind of stick with those two teams that you played twice last year, this year, and then it flips to the other two teams for 23 and 24. The advent of Thursday night games on the ACC network, and then obviously a change in terms of how the league handled the conference tournament. What are your thoughts on all these changes, and what's your opinion on strategy moving forward?
We were very much, have always been very much in favor of this decision in terms of not playing a conference tournament and playing the home and home with two of the four league opponents. It just, five is an odd number. If somebody gets left out, and when you have a tournament, you know, playing two games in 3 days is really hard. It's not ideal under any circumstances, especially not with the you know, quality of our league. And so, you know, we've been there, we've done it, you know, a number of times, but I like this in terms of, it gives us an extra home game on our campus in the ACC, which is always the most popular games. It gives us, unquestionable strength of schedule. And that's not really a big concern for us because of who we play out of league, but it means that, you know, you're going to get every consideration at the end of the year. In addition to being well prepared at the end of the year, you're going to have played against the best teams in the country, and you're going to know what it needs, what it takes to play at that level. It gives us the opportunity to play those Thursday night games. And I thought that was terrific. I don't know anybody that doesn't think that was terrific, whether you were in the game or not. I couldn't wait for Thursday night. I wanted to watch it. We're playing that game every week, and I think a lot of people felt that way, and that was terrific. And we couldn't have probably, it would have been hard to have the inventory to do that with a more limited slate. People would have been less willing to, you know, to do that. So it just worked out for us in a lot of ways. I can't think of a way that it didn't work out when you look at the success of the teams and everything else.
Last week, I had Denver coach Bill Tierney on, and I asked him why they weren't playing Notre Dame, and he told me that that I would have to ask you. So let me ask you, what prompted the decision for the Denver Notre Dame game not to return for this year?
I tell you what, Jerry, I'm gonna take the high road on that. There's less traffic.
Understood. As far as a rumored new addition, I've been told that Georgetown gets added to the schedule, and certainly the Hoyas coming off of a really fine season, advancing to the NCAA quarterfinals for the first time under Kevin Warren's tenure. If indeed that is a game, what are your thoughts on taking on the Hoyas?
It is a game, and we're excited to do that. We're excited to the opportunity you know, play a very good Georgetown team and have somebody, you know, who's been on our roster, you know, a school that is a very similar school to ours in a lot of ways. And you know, just a natural kind of rival to us in a lot of ways. So excited to have the opportunity to play them and next year to be back in that Mid-Atlantic area. You know, it's just a lot of good things coming out of that.
Well, Casey, we really appreciate your time on the podcast. As always, it was a pleasure catching up. Enjoy this brief break and time off, and we look forward to getting eyes on your team when you get back on the field in January.
Hey, thanks, Jerry. I really appreciate it.
And the Inside the Cross podcast continues with Wheaton Jackabois, a midfielder for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And Wheaton, we just had an opportunity to hear from Coach Corrigan about how your fall went, one competition against an outside opponent in Colgate, and otherwise an opportunity to focus on a large roster with a fair amount of turnover, given, you know, you were a quarterfinalist last season and graduated a bunch of talent. How do you characterize how the fall unfolded?
I think the fall was great. I would kind of describe our fall as like a lot of competition. Guys were flying around and energy, I would say, kind of competition and energy being the two big themes. This fall, more than ever, I felt like we've had some great energy, whether it be in the weight room. We've kind of been running more so than we've had in the past couple of years, and there's been great energy surrounding that. And then there's just been great energy and competition at practice. We got guys competing for spots. I think we're deeper this year offensively than we've been in a while. And we've got a couple of new faces on defense. But I think competition and energy are kind of the two themes that we've built around this fall. And it's been a really good one.
What are some of the things that you focused on, particularly yourself, over the summer in the fall in terms of building on what was a breakout year last season?
I would say I focused a lot this summer kind of just on improving the skills that I have, just kind of continuing to build on the speed. Kind of always trying to work on my shot, develop more of a right hand, and then also focused a lot just kind of getting in the weight room this summer. I had a little bit more time in my hands coming in this year than I've had in the other years in the summer. I was able to just coach a lot of lacrosse, being around and warming up goalies, and just kind of focus on the weight room, trying to put on some extra size coming into this year, and just kind of continue to build on my strengths.
I understand that, you know, you're a Kansas City native, and when you're at home, you work out with some pretty notable Kansas City athletes. Is that right?
I have before, not really as much anymore, honestly. But you know, like I've been around a couple like Chiefs players before, just like in the same kind of like facility as much that not really like straight up working out with them. I wouldn't say that.
So you've never sprinted against Tyreek Hill is what you're trying to say?
No, but I can assure you that I would lose that one.
So in terms of trying to develop, you know, you mentioned obviously working out in the weight room and trying to get a little bigger. It sounds a little daunting to, you know, opposing defensive midfielders because, you know, I definitely would say that strength and the ability to run through checks is a big part of what I saw of your game last year. What do you want to see on the field this spring? How do you want to see the things that you focused on manifest when it comes to the lights being turned on during a game?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that just like kind of that increased size, just combining that with the speed and being able to kind of just play with that confidence that we talked about, kind of like breaking out last year, and having that confidence on and off the field, and just kind of like not really caring about the matchup in front of me, whether it's a defensive midfielder, a long stick midfielder, or whether it's a close defender, even just like kind of just having that confidence that I'm going to lift through the guy and try to get to the rack or try and beat him and find open guys. There's so many talented guys offensively at attack, and our midfield's so deep this year, just kind of trying to beat guys, start the offense or take it to the rack. So yeah, I would just kind of say just building on that and just kind of being able to run by people or go either way and not really have to worry about who's in front of me.
There was a viral clip from your game against Colgate in the fall where Pat Cavanaugh cradled down by his ankles through like four guys and scored. And what was potentially the most remarkable thing about the clip was that you guys didn't go crazy. Like the teammates that were on the field didn't, you know, pick their jaws up off the floor before going to celebrate with him. And I asked Coach Wellner why that was the case. And he said, because they see him do it in practice every day. What's it like being Pat Cavanaugh's teammate?
I mean, I love it. Pat's one of my best friends on and off the field, and Coach Wilmer hit it right on the head. He does that stuff in practice. He does that stuff when we're shooting together before and after practice. It's just, yeah, it's a common occurrence. And it's become more and more common throughout the years, which has been pretty cool. I mean, he came in freshman year. He obviously had a great freshman campaign, but the step he took from freshman to sophomore year was super cool to see as a teammate. And just like being this teammate, he fires me up. Like on and off the field. I mean, he's one of our captains this year, which I think is a testament to his work ethic and drive and competitiveness as a junior. And he's just someone that like you want to go to battle with every Saturday or whenever we have a game.
When it comes to the rest of the offense, you mentioned obviously the depth, and you've got guys back like, I believe, Griffin Wessling, Quinn McCann, Eric Dobson, who had a great freshman season. Who are some of the guys that have impressed you, and who are some of the folks that you think fans should be on the lookout for in terms of being some of those breakout stars like you and Pat were last year?
Yeah, I think that that Eric and Quinn are both going to take great steps forward this year. Kind of like we just talked about Pat going from freshman to sophomore year. I think that's a pretty big jump for a lot of players, especially offensive players. So I think you can look for another big year out of Eric Dobson. And Quinn, I think people don't really talk about his like two-way ability enough. He's great offensively. He's a very smart player, but he's also a great defensive player. So I think we're going to use him as a two-way guy a lot this year, which would be great because it just adds more depth to our defensive midfield, who I think is the best group in the country, that short stick D-middies. And then also we've got a freshman attackman named Jeffrey Rigardelli. He's coming out of Taft. He's got incredible hands, a really, really slick stick. And I think when you pair him with Pat Cavanaugh, after we lost Will York last year as kind of that main finisher, I think that'll be really, really good. And then obviously, yeah, Griffin Weston's coming back. We know what he can do. But yeah, I think those two and Jeffrey Ricardelli are really going to step up this year, kind of on the offensive end.
And at the other end of the field, Liam Entenmann is, you know, a goalie that's been on my radar for like 5 years. He's huge. He moves pretty well for a big guy in terms of being long and lanky at 6'3". What's it like to shoot against him every day?
Liam is the best goalie I've ever shot against. It's kind of like I was just shooting on him the other night and the snow was coming down. And it's, and I feel, it doesn't feel like you're just kind of shooting in the backyard and stuff because it almost gets so heated going against him. He's such a competitor, and it just makes everyone around. And then also shooting on him, there's just always in every session probably 8 to 12 shots where you're just like, where else am I supposed to put that? And he's saving it, which is frustrating, but it also makes us all a lot better shooters. We got to put it in good spots. You got to deceive them with your head and your hands. So it's really fun. I love shooting on him and kind of like working on my own shot. And I know other guys do too, because you shoot against him and he's making all these saves. And then it makes going out on Saturdays a little bit easier just because he's so good in practice and you're going against the best.
And in front of him, Jack Kielty and Kyle Thornton moved on. Arden Cohen is back, the close defense. Who are some of the guys that are going to contend for those two starting opportunities?
Yeah, Arden will definitely be the anchor on that end. He's going to hold it down mentality-wise and everything. And then some of the guys that will compete in that other spot, Jason Reynolds, he's coming over as a fifth-year transfer from Richmond. He's a great player. He's got great speed and quickness. He's also a really hard, diligent worker. He'll compete. We've also got another fifth-year returner here named Carson Cochran. He competed for time. I believe he started in one or two games his junior year, but the COVID year, 2020. And then last year, he unfortunately tore the ACL. He'll compete for time. There's another junior named Marco Napolitano. He's out of Torrey Pines in California. He'll be competing for some time. And then Ross Bergmaster, who got a lot of time last year as a freshman at LSM, he's going to bump down to close this year, I believe, and also be competing for that second, third spot. So we've got a lot of guys working hard and kind of around that theme of competition this fall, guys competing for spots and flying around.
So as you transition from the, you know, end of fall ball into whatever kind of tests you have before Thanksgiving, into Thanksgiving, into coming back for a couple weeks before Christmas, you go home for break, and then all of a sudden you're back and it's start of the spring season. What is the conversation within the team like in order to make sure that everybody's getting done what they need to get done?
Yeah, I think it's just kind of about staying dialed and kind of having that like excitement going into the season. We talk about that a lot, like in our leadership groups and with coach even, just about kind of finding that balance of like staying dialed and knowing that really once we get back from Thanksgiving, it's almost go time. You know, like you can't let yourself really have an off day, or you got to have that in the back of your head that in 4 or 5 weeks, it sounds like a lot of time, but we're playing lacrosse every day. And then before you know it, another 4 or 5 weeks in preseason, we have our first game. So it's just kind of about staying dialed, staying in that group. We've got a number of accountability groups that we go, kind of break into small groups over that long winter break. And whenever we go home, just to make sure guys are staying on top of it, staying in shape, keeping a stick in their hands, and then just kind of about competing every day when we're back here. But yeah, just really staying dialed and kind of having that excitement, like, yeah, like not like, oh, I've got to come back and play lacrosse today. Like, let's go. We got all 55 guys ready and hungry to play lacrosse every day for the next, hopefully, 6 months to Memorial Day.
Well, that's a great note to end it on, because certainly by the time you guys are back, we'll be excited to check out what the Fighting Irish look like on the field. And in the meantime, best of luck to you and your teammates as you continue to plow ahead.
Thank you very much, Jerry. I appreciate your time.
And the Inside Lacrosse podcast continues with Utah head coach Drew McMinn. Coach McMinn, is it weird to hear me say that?
Yeah, it's been a while since being at Robert Morris. Was spending my entire career there until getting here, but I think I'm starting to adjust with hearing the University of Utah behind the name. So
a little bit of an uncommon time for a job transition like this. Opened up in early August, and you went through the process over the course of that month. How has it been arriving to campus and essentially having to adjust so quickly from the standpoint of getting your players back on campus, building a staff, and everything that goes along with it?
Yeah, the timing, I mean, you know, again, it was brought up a couple times just with it being at the end of the summer. But, you know, honestly, Terry, I mean, it was awesome just, you know, having to kind of just figure everything out immediately. You know, so certainly didn't look at the timing as a negative thing. It was awesome just to be able to get started with fall ball right away and, you know, kind of get thrown into the fire to just be forced to adjust as quickly as we can. And, you know, I think in the end, it ended up being a good thing with the timing. So,
and you come from a Robert Morris program that in the NEC, I have written, spoken, and argued many times. One of the hallmarks of the Colonials is that you guys established a very unique identity. And I don't even think I'm in a position to actually acutely explain it very much, except that, you know, on the one hand, my inside lacrosse coworker, Tommy Lyons, who played at Mont St. Mary, played against you all the time and hated it. And he talked about how either you had to guard these 6'6" lumbering long poles coming down in transition, trying to score all the time, or you were preparing for, you know, all of these unique offensive looks that you would only see once on your schedule. And then I talk to other coaches that prepare for you, and they say something similar in terms of how unique it is to prepare for a Drew McMinn coach team. So I say that to say you make the transition to a new program. How much of that style carries over, and how much of it is a function of the nature of the place? Basically, you know, in a nature versus nurture component of your style, how much of it is each?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly a little bit of both. I mean, there was reasons we recruited the way that we did at Robert Morris and went a little bit non-traditional just because, you know, who we were as a university and as a program. And, you know, the style of play kind of came with that. And then, you know, now arriving at Utah, I mean, I think we certainly have, you know, a lot of similarities with the types of players that we have here. And, you know, I think we'll continue to push a very similar brand as far as just being an up-tempo and transition type oriented team. And in addition to that, you know, I mean, the players and the personnel here that we have on the field, you know, again, I think are well suited already to, you know, to play a similar style. So we always want to play the game in a unique way that does make us hard to prepare for, and, you know, have it be exactly what you said, that when teams, you know, are going against Utah, they're going to know that they're going to have to prepare a little bit differently than they do in their other weeks throughout the season. And, you know, we certainly want to continue that brand here.
To that extent, you know, how much of what you're stepping into is an established identity, you know, given that a couple of club years and then 3.5, I suppose, seasons underneath Brian Holman, they were able to form an identity. But at the same time, not to the extent of another program who, say, has been in playing varsity lacrosse for 50 years. How much of it is still moldable, and how much of it is a little bit of you figuring out what you're inheriting?
Yeah, I mean, again, a little bit of a, you know, two-sided story there, just with the fact that we're, of course, going to adjust with the personnel that we have. But, you know, again, they were playing a brand here already that was starting to get more up tempo and push the transition game and do some of the things that we plan on doing here now moving forward. So certainly feel that we can make it a smooth transition and that we've done that throughout the fall. And again, credit to just the guys that we have here on the roster that, you know, they've adjusted with the things that we have changed up a little bit. But again, you know, we've done our best to make sure that we're adjusting to them as well. So a little bit of, you know, us giving in to making sure that we're running a style that's going to be well suited for the guys that we have, but, you know, also continuing to move in the direction that we want to keep moving in as we move ahead.
Sean Doyle comes with you as an assistant, and Tim McDermott, who had been the director of ops for the program, takes the role as the other assistant. How did you go about building your staff?
Yeah, Sean had, as soon as I took the job, you know, he was on board from day one, and, you know, he did a tremendous job for us at Robert Morris, and, you know, really just felt confident in, you know, who he is, not only as a coach, but just understanding the culture and the identity and, you know, who we always were at Robert Morris. And, you know, he played there for me and then, you know, of course coached, you know, under me as well. And, you know, he was a no brainer once he gave me the, you know, the thumbs up that he was on board. And then, you know, Coach McDermott has been tremendous. I mean, just with helping me adjust and, you know, really just being, you know, crucial and just, you know, a lot of the little things that come up with the job. And, you know, him being here for the last handful of years, I mean, just kind of knowing who to turn to for everything that we need on campus. And, you know, in addition to that, you know, I feel that he's just a tremendous coach, and moving him into the on-field role, you know, has been extremely smooth for him too. So, you know, certainly just felt very confident with both of those guys being in place and really just being able to, you know, cover the elements that we need to, you know, in the office and when we're out on the field.
When the job opened, I wrote about how unique it is from the standpoint of being one of 12 Power 5 institutions that play lacrosse and the westernmost program in the country. How do you regard those two unique aspects of the program?
Yeah, I mean, it really does. I mean, it makes us such a unique, you know, just the university and the athletic department. I mean, just so unique in the Division I lacrosse landscape. And, you know, it's just obviously a beautiful place to be in the country and, you know, offer something different from that side of things. And then, you know, Pac-12 athletics, I mean, it's a whole nother level. So, you know, being able to obviously not be competing in the Pac-12, but, you know, just being surrounded by the athletic department that competes on that level with football, with basketball, I mean, just brings, you know, something that's just very different from any other Division I experience. And, you know, I think that's, you know, certainly the biggest sell here. You know, it is an experience in a school and in a location that's just different than anything else in Division I lacrosse.
So you mentioned a conference, and one of the most substantial changes for Utah from last year to this is the creation of the A-Sun, their inclusion in it, and the ability to compete for an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. Obviously, you have been a part of a program that has experienced what it means to have that opportunity. How substantial and how transformative potentially is that for this Utah U team?
It's absolutely huge. I mean, to be an independent, I mean, it was an uphill battle without question for the program, and you know, any program that's gone through that. And when I was at Robert Morris, we, you know, as a department left the NEC the year before, you know, that I wrapped up. And, you know, we went through that year and certainly knew that, you know, it was going to be an uphill battle to find a way to make the NCAA tournament at the end of the day. And, you know, the fact that we now have a conference to compete in and that AQ, like you mentioned, being on the line, I mean, that's what gives us the, you know, the pathway to get the, you know, where we want to be on a national level. And that, of course, starts with getting to the NCAA tournament and then competing for national championships from there.
How do you describe your fall practices?
Just up-tempo. I mean, you know, we came in and, of course, wanted to just, you know, inject as much energy as we could. And like I said, the guys have just been tremendous in responding to the change. And, you know, we, as we mentioned, just with the style of play, you know, really wanted to instill that we're going to play fast above everything else that we do. And, you know, again, with the style of play, we want to, you know, play a fun brand of ball. And, you know, the practices we feel like have been extremely energetic. And again, just a credit to the guys to being able to respond in that type of way, because going through a change for any program can, you know, for that transition can obviously create obstacles at times, but the guys have made it as easy as possible. It's just, you know, being able to respond to what we're trying to push across.
Tyler Bradbury returns as the leading scorer, and Jordan Hyde was last season's second leading scorer. Who are some of the guys that have stood out to you?
Yeah, I mean, those guys have been awesome on the offensive end of the field. Very confident in what we bring defensively. Joey Boylston returns, Sammy Cambier returns. We return veterans in the cage. We have, you know, certainly a group of just talented younger guys that have come in with the freshman class this year as well. You know, and just, you know, feel that we have the experience, of course, with the returners on both ends, but, you know, a lot of young talent that we feel that, you know, can make an impact right away for us as well. But, you know, those guys certainly stood out on the offensive end coming out of last year. And then those guys that I mentioned, just, you know, really bringing the veteran presence on the defensive end as well.
You mentioned the talented freshman class. What do you think of the 21s, and what do you think of recruiting to Utah compared to recruiting to Robert Morris?
Yeah, I mean, just the national brand, you know, I mean, that's the biggest change. I mean, you know, again, having the Pac-12 conference, having, you know, the university just nationally recognized, that's, you know, just a whole different ballgame as far as just, you know, what the athletic department offers, what the university offers. And, you know, it's been awesome just because, again, there's just a lot of energy behind the program right now. And, you know, we feel like from a recruiting standpoint, I mean, once guys get out here and see what's offered from, you know, the academic standpoint to the athletic standpoint, you know, just again, everything that's offered from the experience of the surrounding community, it's just, you know, a whole nother level. And I think when guys get here to campus and, you know, see that, they just realize how unique and special of a place it really is.
Sticking along the freshman / recruiting front, Cody Hart, an Under Armour All-American, a five-star recruit, originally committed to Virginia from Lake Ridge High School in Oregon, a late commit switching to Utah on June 1st this past summer. What's it been like having him as part of the squad?
Yeah, Cody's been tremendous. I mean, and, you know, not just him, of course, with our freshman class. I mean, we feel like the staff had done a great job, and Coach Holman did a great job of, you know, just getting quality young men here first and foremost, and, you know, guys that can certainly play the game at a high level. And, you know, he's done great for us throughout the fall. And, you know, again, a lot of the other freshmen have, you know, just really been able to just hop on board and play the style that we are pushing across. And Certainly just very pleased with what we're getting out of, you know, that entire class right now with the 21s and, you know, being able to, of course, they didn't go through the transition with playing last year for the program, but, you know, they've just been equally as impressive with just being able to hop right on board with everything that we're doing here.
As far as this moment in the season, when you finish up fall ball and transition to the holidays, finals, and then getting ready to come back on campus, what is the message to the team?
Yeah, I mean, right now, just, you know, again, just being ready to get back in the spring. And, you know, we're on break now, of course, for Thanksgiving, and, you know, we'll be heading into the winter break. And, you know, we just want to make sure that they're prepared physically to come back and hit the ground running and open up the schedule with Denver on February 5th. So, you know, short turnaround once we actually get the guys back here. So, you know, the main thing is just physically being ready to go and, you know, making sure that when they get back here, they're able to respond again to just, you know, being able to pick up and, you know, start playing fast immediately. You know, so with the short turnaround after the break, we just need to make sure that first and foremost, those guys are ready to come back and respond to that. And, you know, we have awesome leadership. I mean, Rylan Lemons and Sammy Campbell both return as captains from last year. Rylan's another one that's just, you know, awesome veteran presence on the defensive end of the field. And, you know, added Tyler Bradbury into the mix with that captain group as well. And, you know, we expect those guys to just lead the charge and have the team ready to get going and hit the ground running when we get back in the second semester.
Coach McMahon, we really appreciate your time on the Inside Lacrosse podcast. Can't wait to see the Utes when you hit the field in February.
Awesome. Thanks, Terry.
And the Inside Lacrosse podcast continues with Utah longstick midi / defender Sammy Campbell. First of all, I apologize, Sammy. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Yeah, you're good. Thanks for having me on, Terry. It's actually Campbell.
Campbell. Yeah, very good.
Yeah,
good to know.
It up. No worries.
So obviously a really interesting season for the Utes last year and an equally interesting offseason. You guys went 4-7. You welcomed in a new coach, Drew McMahon, coming over from Robert Morris, taking over for Brian Holman, who had been the coach since the varsity team's inception and a couple years ahead of that. How do you characterize the way that the last 6, 8, 9 months have unfolded for you?
Yeah, so it was definitely pretty crazy when it all unfolded at the end of summer for us, but forever grateful for what Coach Holman and his staff did. They definitely developed a great leadership for us at Utah, and with Coach McMahon and Coach Doyle and Coach McDermott now, they definitely handled that transition very well, and like I said, with that established leadership, I think we as seniors did a really good job of welcoming him and just carried on. I don't think we really missed a step there, but like I said at the beginning, it was definitely a little crazy, but we figured it out.
You are one of the more prolific defensive players in the country in terms of the stats that you have put up over the course of your career. I believe 54 ground balls and 14 caused turnovers last season. How do you describe your style of play?
I'd like to say I just to bring energy out there, and I think the guys around me definitely helped there, and I don't know, they definitely helped me succeed. But I think I just bring the energy on the field. That's what helps me succeed, definitely.
And 2 goals and 4 assists to boot. How do you consider yourself as an asset or a threat at the offensive end of the field?
I'd like to be more of one this year, definitely. I definitely consider myself a threat in transition, but looking to get some more this year for sure.
Are there any guys that you model your game after?
Huge fan of Scott Ratliff and Kyle Hartzell. They're definitely good in the transition. I like to watch them play in the PLL too.
Got it.
Throughout my whole life, so yeah.
What were the types of things that you focused on improving over the summer?
Over the summer, like I said, so the transition, I just have to be in the best shape I can be in, and not the strongest guy, so I got to focus on that every single summer and just focus on myself. But I actually did come off of surgery. I broke my foot last season at the end of the season, so just rehab that and focus on that a lot. I'm just feeling 100% now, so I'm ready to go.
So obviously a new staff in place in the fall. What was it like from the first meeting in terms of establishing a tone and a new culture?
So Coach Holman and Coach McMahon, they have a very similar mindset. So like I said, Coach McMahon handled that transition very well and just mainly focused on just building relationships right off the start. And I think he did an excellent job of that. We went up to Heber City. It's about 30 minutes away from Salt Lake City. And we had a little team retreat, which was awesome. Got to meet the coaches, meet his family, and he just got to develop relationships with the coaches too. So I think he handled that very well, which was awesome.
And from a practice standpoint, when did you guys get going and when did you end?
So we had about a, like a 9 week fall ball, but we had a couple weeks off when we first got there, just kind of figure things out and let the coaches get settled. But like I said, with the leadership, we had some captain's practices when we first got there, which was nice to meet all the freshmen and get started. That way the stick work was a little bit dialed in before the coaches got there. But yeah, we had about a 7 week fall ball with the coaches, and we started really fast and we didn't miss a beat and just had a lot of excellent practices. But we just finished up about a week ago. Now we're all sent home for Thanksgiving break, so which is nice to just spend some time with our families right now.
What were, how do you describe the practices? What were the similarities and what were the differences in terms of how they unfolded based under or compared to, you know, the prior staff?
Yeah, of course. I think they're both very similar styles of lacrosse, and which is my favorite. It's just a quick up and out, get the ball out, push transition, and everyone's a two-way middie, which is really cool to see just how fast we play. And I'm really excited to see how we do in the spring with that. But yeah, it's pretty similar to how we played the last couple of years. And like I said, which I love how Coach McMahon coaches too. So the practices are a lot of fun and super energetic and high speed. So
from the standpoint of the guys on your team, obviously a bunch of contributors coming back from a very young roster last year, but also a couple of guys who had been on the team 2 years ago returning to the roster as well, if I understand it correctly. Can you talk about some of the newcomers and returners?
Yeah, of course. This is actually my first year here in 4 years where I think we actually have more than three seniors, which is pretty cool. We're actually have an older team now, which is good to be a part of. But we also did get a bunch of new freshmen that have brought a lot to the table in this fall and a bunch of the scrimmages we have on these Fridays that we do. So I'm really excited to see how they do and how they develop over the spring and actually get to see live competition and just learn from the older guys. But like I said, we do have those older guys here that have been with the program for the last couple of years and just have been leading those younger guys.
How do you consider your own role in terms of leadership?
I'm a captain now for the last 2 years, and I think I like to lead by example. Like I said, I'm bring the energy every day out on the field. This is the highlight of my day every single day getting out there on the practice field. So I think guys look to me that way and just like to follow me out on the practice field and match that same energy.
And in terms of the focus between now and when you head back to campus to start spring practices, where is your attention and where is your focus?
So always just conditioning. I'm going to meet up with my strength coach that I've been working with the last couple of years through high school and everything. So I'm going to focus on that and just footwork, and then, try to get out to the field as much as I can. I have a couple of teammates that are back home in Dallas with me, so get the sticks in my hand as much as I can. But my main focus, I think, will just be the best shape I can be in getting back for spring.
That's the advantage of being in Texas, right? You can get out onto a field and it's not miserable 20 degrees outside.
Yeah, it's super nice. It's not fun in the summer, but it's great for the winter time. So definitely take advantage of that.
No doubt. We'll enjoy it. We really appreciate your time on the podcast, and we can't wait to see you hit the field in the spring when you get back together with the Utes.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Terry. Thanks for having me on.
Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.